the DA's mayoral candidate for eThekwini, Mr. Yeah. Hanif Hussain. Very, very lucky to have you in the studio with us.
And why you and why now?
I'm a Durban boy through and through, and people are just tired. They just want the job to get done right.
It's clearly not just about being a DA member.
The truth of the matter is that South Africans know that the high levels of corruption have destroyed our country. Put your X for the experts and get the job done. We can't allow political leaders to divide us on the basis of what we look like, what we speak like, what we pray like, where we come from. It's actually about getting the job done and building a city that we can all be proud of so that we can get the values back into town.
We're going to extend a very, very warm welcome to the DA's mayoral candidate for eThekwini, Mr. Yeah. Hanif Hussain.
And soon to be mayor, right?
Very, very lucky to have you in the studio with us. My name is Ryan Smith.
Leolo Mpiti.
Nazli Sharif.
And yeah, we're here to quiz you all things eThekwini, otherwise known as Durban, for those who aren't aware of the official municipal name.
Durbanites.
And we can get straight to it. So Hanif, welcome to the studio. It's lucky to have you with us.
Thank you.
How did we get you? How did you end up not just being the mayoral candidate, but I mean, what brought you into politics?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. But firstly, let me just say it's great to see you guys again.
It's always good to see you.
To be with the people you love so much, right?
Yeah.
So it's really lovely to see you guys again. I started off like, what, more than 30 years ago?
Wow.
It's the reason why I have these gray hairs, you see, yeah. I earned them.
Yeah.
So I used to be a councillor on a Tigrayan municipality on the executive committee as well. Mm-hmm. So that gave me a bit of an insight initially in my earlier years. I was still very much younger and didn't have as much knowledge and experience as I do now. But I think that experience gave me an opportunity to understand how things work. But I was very much a community activist at the time, and I was using, you know, the council position to help people with basic stuff of helping them sort out the electricity and water issues and those type of things. And then not long thereafter, I was in Parliament for a number of years until 2024, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So a long 30 years.
That's quite a long time in politics. And Hanif, you actually have, I think you go way back to when John Steenhuisen actually started out in politics as well. I think you guys were colleagues in eThekwini back in the day.
That's correct.
If that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, John was awesome back then. I mean, he's awesome now also. But I think we were, you know, all very much quite young in politics at the time. Energetic and wanting to do lots of stuff. And John was also on the executive committee there for a number of years, fighting issues of principle that the DA still fights for today, which is brilliant. We go back a long time and we've grown together, like many other people in the DA. And I think perhaps maybe that is the mark of who we are as a party. Some people retired and moved on. Some people retired and came back like myself. But I think that the one thing that has brought DA people together and the common thread that exists amongst everybody is just that willing desire to actually make our country a better place, and contribute wherever we can. So,
yeah.
And I'm glad to see John Way is now still making that contribution. Younger people like you guys who don't give up and you continue fighting the fight. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Hanif, were you born and bred in eThekwini? Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood?
Yeah, it's where I come from. I'm a Durban boy through and through. I honestly, genuinely believe that there's no place better than the city I come from. It's just really a wonderful place. I grew
land
up
land of Shaka Ilembe.
Hey, land of
and the Bunny Chow.
I hope you're watching
land
that show.
Land of Bunny Chow.
Well, it's over now, but
and land of Shaka Ilembe and everything that keeps you happy. I mean, it's the warmest place to be. Durban's always been the place to be, especially in festive season. Yeah. Sad what's going on there, but we'll talk about that just now. But I grew up there. I lived there all my life. Played in the rivers and the streams and walked the streets. And so I know every corner. I know where things have you know, where things happen in the city. And I just love it. It's just a very beautiful place to live. Yeah. And it can be much more beautiful, of course.
Funny story. My first flight ever, guys, was to Durban.
Yeah.
And the turbulence on the flight was so bad that literally the air hostess pushing the trolley flew from the front all the way to the back. That's how hectic the turbulence was going to Durban. My first flight.
Like ever?
Like ever.
Uh-huh. Maybe the trolley was a GTI.
But, you know, and if it's really so great to have you here, I mean, I think, you know, as someone, and I think a group of us here have been able to serve with you in Parliament and, you know, have had the opportunity to get to know you. And I think, you know, I can speak for myself, but I think you have really been a voice of reason, I think, to many of us who are in the DA, young people in the DA. And I think, you know, in a political journey, everybody goes through difficulty. You have your highs and you have your lows. But I think you really have always been a voice of reason to many of us. And I think, you know, when we heard your name as the mayoral candidate, it was so exciting for us because knowing the type of person that you are, someone who's extremely sober-minded, full of wisdom, very smart, it was very exciting. And I think that is incredible. And I just wanted to say that because me and Nazd, we're kind of talking like earlier on, like we have Hanif and it's like a 360 moment because, you know, it's like we come for.
Ah, that's very sweet. I love you guys.
It's so true. So Hanif, we were speaking a little bit earlier. How did your family take the news? Because I know you were in politics for a while and then you took a little bit of a break and now you're back again. How did your family take the news? Did they say, what are you thinking? Are you crazy? Do you want to do this job?
You know, it's quite a sacrifice, and Sharon actually shared her heart a bit in a social media post about what a difficult decision actually it is, because we're a small family and we're very closely networked, and you guys know, you know, what we do as the DA is a huge sacrifice for what we believe in. I mean, we're away from our families for so many years, and we make all of these huge sacrifices. So our families go through lots of strain and they make huge sacrifices for us to do what we're doing. And so I think that there was a sense of relief when I decided, let me just hang up my parliamentary badge a bit and spend some time with the family. And then there was the opportunity to do this. So, you know, I took them in a little bit of a roller coaster and up and down. And now they had to come to terms with me wanting to run the city. So it was a difficult time for them, but I think that they realize that we've made a lifelong sacrifice to actually make a contribution. I mean, you've been doing this for 30 years, and there's an opportunity for you to have, you know, get power to change what's actually happening. Then you can't say no.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can contrast that with, you know, the DA getting into the GNU, you know. I mean, that wasn't an easy decision for us. We were fighting a system. But then there's an opportunity for us to build a better country. And the only way you do that is to actually have a sober mind and say, we have to put differences aside and put the interests of the country first. And then again, you know, the calling and the sacrifice that you have to make to actually get the job done becomes in the forefront of your decision. Mm-hmm. And so when you put so many years into trying to build a city, build a country, and now you have an opportunity to actually make a real meaningful difference, it becomes very difficult to say no.
And I think you've touched on two very interesting, I would say, kind of cataclysms in our political circumstances at the moment, because you've mentioned that, you know, this is a calling. Mm. And I think for many of us, politics is more than just, you know, we all start out as activists. We want to make a difference. And that is ultimately what carries us through into our careers. And I think that's the most important thing, I would say, about being a politician. But, you know, the fact that the politics has changed, you know, you mentioned the GNU, the fact that South Africans are no longer worried about race and division. They want a country that works for everyone. I think if you look at many of our mayoral candidates, they are, you know, jumping in to make a difference because they feel as if now's the right time.
Yeah.
Do you feel as if, you know, Etiquini's now got a chance going into this election?
I tell you, I genuinely believe that there's something amazing happening in our country at the moment. Mm. And I think more and more South Africans are starting to realize But I think it's mostly more about local government. Mm. And I think that's where the political shift and the mindset is changing. And I think that people are reaching a point in our history where they actually are starting to have the courage to move away from political ideologies and loyalties to their political parties or historical political parties. And people are just tired. They just want the job to get done, right? And I think that's where we are at the moment. And that's why I can tell you we are going to surprise ourselves in this local government elections. You're going to be surprised on just how many towns and cities in South Africa are just going to come, you know, become DA governments. And I think that we're not even going to be ready to when that happens. Mm-hmm. We're going to realize we didn't expect this. But that's the shift that we actually need in South African society, where voters understand the value of their vote and they vote for people who get the job done, regardless of what their political affiliations are. And you know, Ryan, we had that happened in Ward 64 just a couple of weeks ago before the launch of the mayoral campaign. It's a tough ward, Ward 64 in Itigweni. About 57% of that ward are hardcore MK, ANC, IFP community. And we were very worried that we were not going to win that ward. And you guys know how we work hard in by-elections. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we walked it. And that, wow, for me, was an indication that actually people are starting to realize that they can still belong to their political parties of their choice. But when it comes to putting your X in that ballot paper, that X must be for local government experts. Mm-hmm. That's what matters. Mm-hmm. That X must represent experts. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that the DA has become experts in local government. Yeah. Whether people like to agree or disagree or drive political arguments about little issues here and there, but when you look at it at a macro level, the evidence is there all over. And I mean, even Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, has acknowledged that. At least he told the truth.
He got into trouble with his own counselors about that.
Well, you'll always get into trouble when you tell the truth in politics sometimes.
So, Hadif, let's get into it. You know, I always say when we come and visit you in KZN, KZN is one of my favorite provinces because it's just beautiful and the weather is amazing and it's got amazing people, especially in Durban. And a lot of us used to go to Durban all the time because from Johannesburg to Durban, it's not a very long drive.
Yeah.
And we used to go like for the weekend. I remember when I was younger, I did a 24-hour trip. So we left Joburg at midnight and we had breakfast on the beach in Durban and we drove back afterwards. But that doesn't happen anymore because of the decline of basic services in Etekwini. So can you take us through some of the issues that is currently facing Etekwini now?
So you're quite right. I mean, you know, us Durban people, when we get to the festive season, we used to complain amongst each other and say, oh, the Valleys are here, we're not going to get parking.
I used to be one of those Valleys. Yeah.
So that was the whisper amongst ourselves. But, you know, what that represented actually was the exodus of people from all over South Africa and many countries in the world who used to come to Durban for holidays. Mm-hmm. And now Durbanites are not complaining about the values anymore, and that's a bad thing because the one Easter weekend, we happened to take a walk on the beachfront, went to go and have breakfast, and it was like a graveyard. I could not believe it. It was really so sad. And part of the reason why that's happened is because the tourists have just, I mean, who wants to go and swim in oceans that's full of sewer?
Yeah.
You know? And the saddest thing is that Durban's greatest asset is our beach, right?
Yeah.
Like Cape Town's greatest asset is Table Mountain. Mm. So we take care of, you know, the goose that lays the golden egg, so to speak. But unfortunately, our city government there has neglected our biggest asset. They haven't invested in the infrastructure, the sewer infrastructure. And, you know, sewer plants are usually installed along riverbanks. In the event of an emergency shutdown, there is a place for the sewer to flow out into the river. Mm. I mean, if it was built in the middle of a city and then there was a power failure, can you imagine what happens? The sewer is going to be all over the city.
Yeah.
So it's usually built along the river's banks. But it's not intended that the sewer must be flowing constantly into the streams. But that's what's happening in the Tigrinya.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I mean, most of our sewer plants are not operational. They haven't been maintained properly. I mean, I drive past places where we see the sewer actually flowing into rivers all the time. And there doesn't appear to be the political will to actually do anything about it. And so, of course, all of it flows into the oceans. And E. coli and all sorts of other germs and hazards. And so you don't see people swimming in the oceans like the way we used to. The tourists have disappeared. Whether it's intra-province or international, we don't have as many tourists as we did. And so it affects business in a big way. Mm. But you know who it affects the most is the small businesses. Because we used to have so many of these little tour companies. You know, a one-man guy who's got a little taxi, and he will advertise his services along the beachfront. And it was beautiful. Mm. And that's how they used to get by. Mm. But all of that is now dried up.
Yeah.
And you can imagine how many families got affected by that. I mean, just forget for a moment the big hotels. Not that it's not important. But, you know, some of the hotels can survive and get by. But it's the smaller guys that have been completely devastated. And that's really sad.
Yeah. Now, thinking about it, when I was younger, people love to go on holiday to Etiquini. And I remember the rickshaws.
Yes.
It's a core memory with my mom. And how we had to have, there were so many rickshaw guys on the beach that were taking the most beautiful, colorful rickshaws. And of course, pineapple masala.
Yeah, yes.
Right?
Yeah. Always getting bride on the side of the beach.
I have to have the pineapple masala at the beach. And that is the small businesses that you're speaking about, that if people are not coming for tourists and tourism, it affects the small businesses.
Absolutely.
And it affects people and families who depend on those small businesses. So is there still pineapple masala on the beach?
Not as many as they used to be.
Yeah, disappointing. So,
well, that's what happens about a supply and demand, right? That's how things work. So when the tourists start returning, you're going to see more bunny chows and pineapples. And it will happen. I'm confident we'll get there. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible to get back to where we want to be. Mm-hmm. But the problems are huge. They're going to require experts in local government to fix it, apply a set of core principles, business principles that make sense, and you can turn it around. Mm. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to be part of that change so that we don't have to complain about what the state of the city is. And I do think that there's a mood in Durban at the moment where people have just had enough. They are hungry for that change. And ever since we launched the campaign, I cannot tell you how many people have reached out to us saying, we're so excited what the DA is up to now. And how can we get involved? And how can we actually help? Mm-hmm. Which is why we're going to be launching a platform soon where people can actually sign up and say, I want to get involved.
That's amazing.
I want to organize a house meeting or...
That's really cool. Yeah. And it is, you know, Durban, I think beyond just the people who live there, we've all got a soft spot for that city.
Yeah.
And especially anyone who's grown up in Johannesburg or any part of the northern part of South Africa, you know, Durban is holiday for us.
Yeah.
We've got so many fond memories of childhood holidays and seaside, you know, experiences and being with your family in the sunshine. And it's you know, and Durbanites are such wonderful people, I think, as well. I've never met a Durbanite that I haven't, you know, really got along with. So as a city, it feels as if everyone really wants to rally around the change. But yeah. Even as a country, I think so many people are saying, oh, Durban, it used to be so wonderful. It used to be so, you know, this. I remember the rickshaws and the masala, you know, pineapple. And I mean, my dad loves curry, for example. And we used to always stock up on our spices for the year when we went to Durban on our annual
holiday.
Mother-in-law. Yeah. So it holds a special place, I think, in every South African's heart. And so many of us, even outside of Durban, are so invested in fixing the city because it's just so wonderful.
Mm. No, Durban's been everybody's happy place. Mm. It's where you go to have fun. And I mean, you can imagine how has it been for people like us who come from there. It's been our permanent happy place, and it's now such a sad place to be. And, you know, I usually go for a walk or a run on the beachfront. I try to go as often as I can. Almost every morning, Shannon and I go for a walk. And we just always just reflect on just the overall degradation of the city. And it's just sad. But I know that we can turn this thing around. And because there's an air of excitement back in Durban and people see what's possible. And South Africans are getting more activated about our country, the direction in which we've been moving, and actually people getting together to make things better. And I feel very confident that we're gonna turn the city around, or else I would have not raised my hand to say, let's do this. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting for that time, and it's going to be fun. Mm.
Yeah, so Hanif, you know, just listening to your vision, and luckily I had an opportunity, guys, to actually listen to Hanif on the day of his announcement as the candidate. It's just, you know, when I listen to you just speak about the future and what you see possible for the people of Etegwini, it was so beautiful. And I just wanted to maybe just push and nudge a little bit on that vision and what you see for the people who are perhaps just sitting at home and just like, you know, as I'm listening to Nazli and Ryan share what Durban used to be, you know, what is that vision and that future? How does it look like for someone who's just like, I'm just fatigued by all these politicians and all these things that are coming at me? Because let's be honest, there's going to be a lot of messages, right, in this coming election. And people are tired of that. They really want to see what is the true vision that really can be helping them.
So I'm glad you asked that question, because you know, the fact of the matter is that we can, as a political party, as an individual, as a person, as a citizen, you can come up with an idea, you can raise your hand and say, I want to change this thing. But if people don't get behind the idea, it becomes just a dream and you never achieve it. So I want to give you an example. This is not the first time I ran for mayor of the city of Durban. I've done it once before in 2016, right?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And on that occasion, we succeeded in bringing the ANC from about 60-odd, 61% down to about 55%, which was progress. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the DA has been involved in this project for many years now. Mm. And we knew what we wanted to try and achieve, and we never stopped trying. Mm. And here's a very interesting story. In 2016, when I stood, the ANC's mayoral candidate was Andile Gumede at the time.
Oh, the infamous, yeah.
So this is 10 years ago, right? Mm. And we made an offer to South Africans and to the people of Durban to say, this is the vision, this is what we want to do, this is what our plan is, to how we can turn things around. Well, ANC got re-elected. Sandile was the mayor. Not long thereafter, she's now in court for 320 million rand tender fraud. Mm-hmm. So the point I'm trying to make is that we could have avoided that situation. We could have saved the city so much of corruption. We could have used that money to fix the water crisis that we got in the city. And people may not be in the situation where they are now if they got behind the DA 10 years ago. Mm. So in a way, the point I'm trying to simply make to people is that if we want to live in a better city, you don't just wish and dream and hope. You have to get involved. Mm. That's the system. That's how the system works. So you can sit at home and you can say, ah, just pray that the DA wins. And thank you for the prayer. But that ain't going
prayers
to...
Don't win elections.
Prayers don't win elections. Yeah.
That ain't going to put an X on the ballot, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I tell you, if we're going to leave the city in the hands of this government for another 5 years, then we're going to have to leave the city forever.
Yeah.
Because the last 10 years has been complete destruction of the city. Can you imagine what's going to happen in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, citizens and residents should take that chance of seeing what's going to happen. I think we have come to a point now where something has to change. Yeah. And we have to have proper experts, people in government to make the change. And, you know, Hanif, I've spoken on this podcast in length about water issues. Mm. I suffer in Johannesburg directly. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., there's no water because they're throttling. And now the same thing is happening in KZN. So I get very passionate about it. And I will talk about it until I'm blue in the face because we need a resolution on the water crisis. And you just mentioned it. Can you take us through the water crisis in Etiquette? What's happening and how do you see you're going to fix it?
So, you know, our guys, councillors on the Etiquette municipality, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it actually comes as far back as John's time.
Wow.
Jeez, okay.
Where we were constantly raising the issue about maintenance, the importance of maintenance. And it's been a song that we've been singing over and over on every budget cycle. But the current government just did as they please. And they thought that they were on the right track. And they just, the level of arrogance in that we'll do whatever we want. Mm. And so over a period of time, what has happened is that they failed to invest in the infrastructure. And I mean, if you just bring it down to a simple example, if you've got a home, you know that you have to maintain the electricity, the water, you have to paint the house and so on. And those water pipes in your home under the ground has got a lifeline of maybe 10 or 15 years or so, you know, and you'll start noticing that something's wrong here. I'm having these water leaks every week and I have to now get a real job done. Think about it on a citywide level. So those pipes have a 15, 20-year lifespan. If you're not going to replace them within that 15 or 20 years, you're going to end up with burst water pipes happening constantly. And every single day in the city, all over the city, there's either water flowing onto the street through a burst pipe. And so the current situation is because of the ongoing constant failure to maintain the infrastructure. You know, every city buys its water from a water authority, mm-hmm. right? So in Tigweni, they buy the water from Mgeni Water. And about 6 billion rand or so per annum is what they purchase. And then they resell that water to the residents at a small profit so that they can cover costs and all of those things. 60% of the water that they buy gets wasted into the ground as what they call non-revenue water.
Wow.
Is that from leaks or?
A combination of water that people don't pay for and leaks and so on. But that's a big number, right?
Yeah.
Which means if you work it out, who's going to pay that 6 billion to Mgeni? It's the ratepayers.
It's the residents, yeah.
Which means that your water bill is double what it should have been.
But you're getting half the water that you should be getting, yeah.
You know? So when we say to residents that actually we can make the cost of living more affordable for you, that's not a pipe dream. And we know we can do it because if we invest the money in the infrastructure, we'll save the water. The residents don't have to pay double for the water bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that contributes to making life a little bit more affordable for the communities. And the money is available. The money is there. The city currently has got a debt book of about 40 billion rand owing to it. Money that they didn't collect. Now imagine if you were running a business and your annual turnover was 70 billion rand, but 40 billion of that is people who owe you money and you're just folding your arms and doing nothing about it, you're going to be bankrupt. So the point I'm trying to make is that if you manage the financial management, if you get that right, collect what's owed to you, don't waste money on stuff which we will talk about what they do just now, but redirect that money where it really matters, you'll be able to fix those pipes, you'll be able to save the water, you'll save people money, and then you won't have a situation where residents go for weeks on end sometimes without water. I mean, there was an area in Tongaat just after the floods. It took the municipality more than a year to fix that water plant. Mm-hmm. We went on a parliamentary oversight there, I recall. Can you imagine a community living without water for a year?
Unacceptable.
And it's
against the constitution. I mean,
exactly. It's a human basic right to have access to water. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one thing we can live without electricity, sure, but we cannot live without water.
Absolutely.
Impossible. Hanif, let's...
But we don't have to live without water.
Let's talk about jobs because, you know, I know that Etiquini, like many metros, is plagued by, you know, water and electricity and basic service delivery challenges. But I think it often gets forgotten because people talk Joburg, Cape Town as big cities with young populations. But Durban fits into there, you know, as well.
Yeah.
And Durban is also a site of a lot of investment. You've got the big Toyota factory there. You've got Unilever, I think, like very, very big.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Multinational corporations. What is the plan to create jobs and to grow the local economy in Etiquini? Because I think that's probably the next big thing on people's minds, you know, outside of getting water into their taps.
Yeah. So, you know, let's try and understand first why we have a jobs problem. And businesses don't want to go and invest or set up a business in any city or town where things don't work. A friend of mine told me a story about his colleague who actually wanted to open up a juice factory. You know, some of those concentrated juices where you add water and they bottle it. And he obviously didn't come to Durban because there's a water problem. Yeah. Because it's one of the main ingredients that he's going to use in his business, right? So, I mean, that's just one small example. So businesses will come back if you get the basics right. If you provide water, get rid of the sewer problems, get the roads working again, get the infrastructure working again, get rid of the corruption, because if there's one thing that businesses hate is corruption and bribery.
Absolutely.
And businesses are tired of having to pay a bribe to get something done. Mm. And so if you get those basics right, you'll create that environment for businesses to want to come and get involved. And that has a knock-on effect on the jobs. And so many businesses have closed and moved out of Durban. So many skilled people have moved out of Durban because there's just no opportunities for them. And for me, that's a personal story. My own child, I had to send abroad to go and study abroad because I don't see opportunities for her there. And that's just a representation of so many young people who have left the city to Gauteng to come and find jobs there, or to the Western Cape. That's where everybody's coming right now because things work here. So we can fix it and we can bring those people back. And there's no reason why skilled people have to leave their own city, their own town, their own country to go and work elsewhere. If we can create those opportunities for them to become who they want to be, right here where we live. I mean, what is it that other countries and other cities are doing to attract these people to come there? We can do the same thing where we live. Yeah. And it's not impossible. If you just put the interests of the people that you represent first and use the money for what its intended purpose is. And that's the problem that we have there in the city. It's not been happening.
And if I want to maybe just talk about, you know, some of the township areas in Etegwini. You know, what is your plan in terms of social security for, you know, I think when I go to Durban, particularly to the townships there, you know, I think a lot of the people in those townships are really, you know, housing is a huge problem and a big issue. But in terms of social security, what is your vision in regards to assist individuals?
What we can't do is adopt the attitude that says your side of the boat is leaking. The boat will sink. We will all drown. And you have to manage a city based on where the need is the greatest. If you put that as your priority focus, it would never become an issue about whether it's a township or a suburb or a wealthy or a poorer community. If there's a pipe that's burst and constantly flowing water on the street in a township, it requires attention. It's a no-brainer. But what we also have to do is, if you want to run a city and you want it to be successful, you have to do two things. You have to maintain what you have and build new infrastructure. Because if you focus on only building new infrastructure, you'll destroy what you have. And that's why we are where we are now.
Sure.
So what you don't want to do is replicate the mistakes of the current government. You want to invest your resources in making sure that you take care of what you have and build new infrastructure. Now, you know, there's often a story that goes around in municipalities across the country, and people often say, well, not everybody's contributing to the revenue base. And it is true. But we also have to be mindful of the fact, which we are, is not everybody has the means to contribute. So if you want to run a city on business principles and you want to grow your revenue base, you will invest in the people who don't have it so that they can eventually have the means to make a contribution. It just makes sense. If 50% of the people are paying because they can afford to, how about investing in the other 50% so that they can one day also make a contribution? And that, I think, is the solution to the problem. And it's not about the color of your skin. It's about creating opportunities for people. Because when they contribute to the revenue base, the color of the money is the same, right?
Absolutely.
Fact.
Absolutely.
And that's the approach that you want to take. If you want to operate on business principles, you want to apply principles that make things work logically. Because the problem that we've had currently, as we have, is because of political patronage. The current government was throwing cash around everywhere. That cash should have rather been used to develop communities and develop people as opposed to trying to secure themselves the next election. If you want to secure yourself the next election, just get the job done. And people will vote for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to hand out cash.
Simple.
It's as simple as that, because that's what people want. So I think that I'm very confident about what we can achieve. I'm excited about what's possible in that city. And I know that we can turn this ship around. But we'll never turn the ship around if people don't get behind us to make this to turn. And we require every little bit of help from everybody who has a genuine interest in the future of their children. Because what we are trying to do now is actually build a future for our children. So that they don't have to go through the problems that we're having to deal with now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we can get started on that journey, and even if we don't finish it, at least they can finish the job that way we left off.
Yeah.
But if we don't start turning that ship around, we're heading for problems. But I'm confident we'll be able to fix it.
Yeah. And if, you know, you spoke earlier about having experience. So you served in Etequini, local council, municipality, for some time. So is it safe to say that you know where the bodies are buried?
Oh, absolutely. I know where the bodies are buried.
The juicy stuff.
And I know exactly what's it going to take to turn around. But Nazli, I think everybody knows. The truth of the matter is that South Africans know that the high levels of corruption have destroyed our country. And this fight around race and ideology and all of those things. I think people have realized we've been walking down that road for 30 years and look where it's brought us.
Nowhere.
No. Look where we are. And that's the thing I love about South Africa is that people are smart in this country. We mustn't take voters for granted. And I tell you, those political parties who think they're going to take voters for granted, they're going to get a shock in this election. Mm. They've got another thing coming. Mm. South Africans have simply had enough of mediocrity. Mm. You see it wherever you go. And I think that more and more South Africans are starting to realize this story you've been selling us for 30 years, it's been a pipe dream. You've been promising us a better life for all, but what you gave us was better lies every single election. And it's true. But you can only fool some of the people some of the time, yeah. They say, right?
Yes.
And we reached the point, I think, where we are at a turning point in our history where we're going to look back one day and say, yeah, South Africans have done it again. They've put an end to this nonsense and they've actually turned the ship around so that we can make things better again.
Hanif, I have a question of quite national importance, actually, and I think it's the mark of a true Durbanite. And we have to ask you this. Where do you get your bunny chow?
I make them myself. Yeah, but that's Durban. You can get good bunnies wherever you go.
Yeah, I've learned over the years that the mark of a true Durbanite is, you know, I can't take the heat, actually. Jeez, I've been taken to quite a few establishments in Durban for a bunny, and it just blows my head off. But it is amazing food. And yeah, everyone says that you have to check with the Durbanite where they get their spices or where they get their bunnies from.
We get that question all the time. Like, where can you get the best bunny chow? And I'm anyway, actually, because Durban's known for its bunny chows. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Internationally known, actually. Yeah. People all over the world know it. Huh?
Yeah. Mm.
But it's sad that they remember the bunny chow and no longer remember our beaches.
Yeah, it's true.
That's it's a sad true. Thing,
true.
Yeah.
It is so true. And if, you know, I'm going to keep asking you this question, why you and why now?
I think it's not just about me, Nas. Mm-hmm. The one thing that we've learned in the DA over a period of time, how to get things right in the cities. And I'm grateful that we have in our party people who provide that support, that experience, and the knowledge base that we work as a team to make things better. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the accountability factor, because with us in the DA, if you don't perform, you know there's going to be drama. So those two things of the support, the knowledge base, the experience, and the accountability for performance, I think, are two important things. So, yeah, I have the experience and I have all of that, but I know it's not going to be just be me turning the city around, and I feel confident. I mean, just the other day I had a chat with Sidious because I needed to get his advice on something, and I said, hey, can you help me with this? Because I hear the city is planning to do X, Y, and Z. And there was the answer. This is what you do, A, B, C, D. I can call up Jordan Hill Lewis and ask his experience, and also in Midvaal. And so we've established our organization as a political party that has experts in local government all over that we can call on. So I have the plan, but behind me are some hotshot experts in local government who can help us to actually turn things around. And I think that matters a lot. So what people are going to get in this election, if they get behind the DA, is not just me as the mayoral candidate, but that expertise, the best quality people, engineers, lawyers, accountants, financial experts, and all of those things to help us to get the systems right, making sure that we invest in the right places. I mean, we've had so many people contact us in the meantime, you know, since we did the launch. I mean, some of them even engineers and say we're ready to help. People who left the city said we had enough of working there because it's not about performance anymore. So I think that we're gonna do a fabulous job. And people must just take a chance with the DA. Give us a chance for 5 years and we'll show you what we're capable of doing. And then you have a right to decide after that whether you think we didn't do a good enough job. But wherever people have put their faith in us to say, help us to turn the cities around, I mean, look what we've done in Umgeni Municipality.
Amazing.
Yeah. Do you know that that municipality was completely bankrupt when our friend Chris Pappas became the mayor? But of course, he didn't do it alone. It's that expertise that I was talking about that also got behind him. And within 5 years, it's now the best performing municipality in KZN.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I want to fix my car, I'm going to find a mechanic and get the job done.
Yeah.
I ain't going to go to a guy who's going to make all sorts of promises and how sharp he is and he's got the best tools in the shed and so on. For me, it's about what can you do? Do you have the experience? Can you get the job done and not take a chance with our lives anymore? Because for 30 years, people have taken chances. Mm-hmm. Now is not the time to take chances any longer.
I love what you're saying, Hanif, about, you know, it's clearly not just about being a DA member. It's about any person who wants to come into this campaign with the idea of changing what the decay of the city has been for so long.
Yeah.
So the call that I'm understanding, you're not saying, you don't have to be a DA member. If you're putting up your hand, engineer, lawyer, resident, activist, neighborhood watch, whoever you are, come join me.
100%. I mean, if you want to get on a journey, you want to get on a journey with a vehicle that can get you on that journey. This is that vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. But this is our country. This is our city. I don't care whether you are happy to be a card-carrying member of the MK party. That's fine with me. But do you want somebody who wants to run a city and get the job done? Go and put that X for expert, because that's who we've become. Mm. And I don't want us to fight in the space of saying we hate this political party or we dislike those guys or whatever. This election's not just about politics. It's actually about getting the job done and building a city that we can all be proud of so that we can get the values back into town. And I know it can be done. And I know people want that to get done. Mm. But you know what the problem is? Is their leaders in their political parties mislead them and lie to them and make promises to them and fool them in every single election. But people must realize that those leaders are not doing it for the benefit of their members. They're doing it for themselves because they're the guys who are driving the big cars. They're the guys who are living in the big houses.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
They're the guys who got the expensive clothing, and the people who have put them there are the ones who are actually suffering. Mm. And I think this election, people have just simply had enough. Mm. And I know in this election, we're going to see that amazing shift and change. And that's a brilliant thing for our country because political parties, even like us, and we always say it, hold us accountable if we don't perform. And that's what governance must be about. It must be about nothing else. We're going to have this conversation about what you look like and what you pray like and what language you speak. Those are side issues. When you open your tap and water comes out, you don't ask what color is my mayor or what language he speaks. Mm. What you care about is that the water must be certain. Mm. And that is the important thing about getting the job done in local government. When you get to a national government election, perhaps you can have all of these conversations about whatever, ideology and those type of things. But local government is about service delivery. If you're going to vote for a corrupt group of guys, don't complain afterwards. As I explained earlier in 2016, people got behind Zandile Gumede, 320 million rand tender later. People are still suffering. That money could have been used to build houses for informal settlements. People are, they're living in absolute squalor there. 600 of those informal settlements in Durban. Mm. We've got the highest number in Durban, in our city. And for how much longer are we going to go on like this? Really?
Well, Wanif, are you saying there's 600 informal in settlements just in Durban?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's the highest in the country.
Wow.
It's the highest in the country. In one city. And so I must tell a story on its own. Mm. And you know what the saddest thing about that is? Imagine those kids who are growing up in those informal settlements just living amongst just absolute filth. I mean, where's the dignity? Can you imagine that a child like that can never believe that one day they're going to become somebody in life? Mm. Because the environment in which you grow up often determines the kind of future that you have, because it makes you feel inferior to the rest of South Africans. I mean, that little child is playing with other children in school, but they know they feel inferior to others because of the environment in which they're living. Mm. So how are we going to change this thing around if we're not going to give people just a sense of dignity to start off with? Mm. And as if you work this out, I said 40-odd billion rand is outstanding. If you just take a simple calculation, on average, a basic government house costs about 130,000 rand or some figure, like, depending on the terrain. And if you are able to collect that 40 billion rand and say, I'm only going to invest this in housing, just as an example, you'll build over 200,000 houses.
Wow.
So it's possible.
Yeah.
This thing is possible, but you need the political will to do it. And I mean, I'm not saying that you'll collect all 40 billion. Mm-hmm. You won't also put the entire 40 billion in housing. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you take the money, manage it properly, we can eradicate those 600 informal settlements very quickly. At the current rate of development that the city is building houses, they have reported that at that rate, it will take more than 90 years.
90.
Yeah.
To eradicate the housing.
Wow.
So that little child who's playing in an informal settlement in all of the filth and the dust and the dirt and the grime is going to be a go-go by the time the things actually change. Can you believe that?
No, unacceptable.
So I ain't prepared to sit and wait for 90 years for this government to change things around to try and build a better life for poor communities. I'm saying the time is now. I'm saying we can actually do that in far less than half the time that they are planning to do it, because we've got a plan to do it.
We talk about this election being different. So we keep saying, you know, now's the time, now's going to be different. I think a lot of people keep asking why, you know, what's different about this election compared to previous elections. And I think now, as you said, we're starting to realize the ANC's majority has been broken. Mm. We broke it at local government level back in 2016 already.
Yeah.
And we've now broken it nationally last year. But coalition governments at a local level have just been plagued by instability.
Yeah.
Certainly if you look at the Gauteng metros, which have, you know, arrived there far quicker, I think, than Durban has.
Yeah.
So I think the question there is how do you anticipate the coalition dynamics playing out in eThekwini? Who can we consider as reliable coalition partners? Because these are the conversations I think that a lot of the journalists, for example, are starting to look at.
That's true.
And who, maybe I'm being the devil's advocate here, but who do you think some of your competitors will be? Or do you think they're going to be other mayoral candidates? I mean, judging from the PA, they might make Liam Jacobs the mayoral candidate, you know, tomorrow. Be the fourth metro that he's become the candidate for. But yeah.
No, let's get serious now.
Low blow, right?
Shots fired.
Yeah. Hide the bodies.
You know, Hanif knows where they are.
The difference with the DA is that we care about the outcomes. We don't care about building profiles of individuals and those type of things. Excuse me. So here's the point about coalition. In Tshwane not long ago, I think in Johannesburg as well not long ago, there was these coalitions that just never lasted. Mm-hmm. And people got frustrated because you wake up on a Monday and you've got this mayor, and then you wake up on Tuesday and then you have to Google to find out who's your mayor because things change so quickly. Mm-hmm. But you know what we forget about? It speaks to something. at one stage, the ANC was 2/3 majority, mm-hmm. close by 60-something%, 66 or whatever. And where they are now is, I mean, people say they're not even going to get 20% in municipalities. But there's a message there. The millions of people who actually brought the ANC to their knees actually want change. That's why we are where we are. So they've had enough. And our message is to those people, is to say that for 30 years, you have now finally woken up and realized that you've been lied to. And we know that you want to bring change to communities. I am saying to you, if that's the change that you want, judge us on the performance that we've already achieved where we have. You can get that change without having to worry about coalitions. Because what we don't want to achieve in Durban is to have an unstable coalition. And I think this message is relevant not just to Durban, but to Gauteng as well, and wherever else that the possibility of coalitions exist. Mm. People need to realize that if we're going to have unstable coalitions, it's going to take longer to bring that change that the DA can bring. So it's a gamble that they're going to take. And my message to people in the city is to say, just give us a chance for the 5 years. Give us a chance, take us to the 50% over the line for 5 years, and then you judge us after 5 years and then see the difference. And that message is relevant in Gauteng as well. We don't want to, if the DA is given the power to manage things on its own, man, I tell you, we can turn things around mm-hmm. so much faster. Mm-hmm. But if we don't, what's going to happen is we have to go to our coalition partners and say, please, can you support us on this issue so that we can rebuild houses for the informal settlement? Mm-hmm. And those others are going to say, no, but you need to give me 2 million rand for the people who voted for me because they need this and that. And, and all sorts of bargains. Because then it's the politicians trying to look after their interests on the ground mm-hmm. as opposed to a city government looking after the interest of its city and the people. And so, yes, coalitions are really possible. We might get to that stage. But the DA in all of the cities that we are going to be contesting, I know we're not going to get into a race to come second. We're doing our very best to come first. And my appeal wherever I go, whether it's my city or other cities, or wherever we are, is just give the DA a chance to run your city and your town for 5 years, wherever you are in South Africa. And I promise you, you will see the massive difference. Mm-hmm. And the evidence is there. This is not a politician trying to make promises to you. It's based on the facts. It's based on evidence. And we invite you to actually speak to us and we'll show you where that evidence is.
Mm. Now, Hanif, you say that voters must give the DA a chance for 5 years. But realistically, how much can you actually change in 5 years?
I think if you start by stopping and closing the taps for the corruption, there's so much more you can do. And of course, as I said, nothing changes quickly. It takes time to turn a city around. But it also takes time to destroy it. And actually, you destroy something much faster than building it. But if you don't start building it, it's going to get worse. So the one good example I say to you is years ago, we had 20% water loss. We're now at 60%. What's going to happen after 5 years if we get to 90% of the water is going into the ground? Just think about that for a moment. Mm. And so we can prevent that from happening. It won't get to 90%. We can stop it at 60%, start rolling that degradation back to 50%, 40%, and 30%. So we want to change the direction in which the city is moving. We want to reduce the damage that's getting done. And yes, it's going to take time, but the one thing that people will know is when they go to bed at night that their city government is in safe hands and that we're going to do whatever we can to turn things around, no matter how long it takes.
Mm-hmm. Hanif, I just wanted to ask, just in terms of some of our listeners as well at home, you know, the city of Etekwini is very interesting, right? Because it has a mayoral committee and an executive council. Can you just maybe just explain the difference and how that works in the municipality?
So the outcomes are essentially the same, but the structure is different. Mm-hmm. So in most cities all over the country, they have the mayoral committee, where the mayor is the executive mayor. In Etekwini, we've got an executive committee system. There's 10 people sitting on the executive committee, and they are essentially the cabinet of the city.
Okay.
So that's the difference. But the outcomes and the MFMA and the Structures Act and the Systems Act and all of those things, the outcomes and the intentions of those pieces of legislation applies to them, to the municipality as well. So, okay.
And then who appoints or elects the executive council?
It's based on a proportional representation of the number of seats that you get.
Okay.
The more seats you get in the council, the more you'll qualify. So if there's 10 seats, those 10, roughly speaking, if there's 200 seats in the municipality, it means for every 20 seats, you're going to get one exco seat, if I can just give you the rough calculation. Okay. So it's based on a proportional representation system.
So does that mean that small parties might also get representation on the council?
That's why the system was designed like that. So the smaller parties may also be able to get representation.
Okay.
But that obviously is based on the number of seats that they're going to get. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think we've learned from small parties that they just cause trouble. In you know, they can swing the council in any which way they want, and they become the card holders, I suppose, when it comes to big decision making in municipalities.
Well, it's interesting you raise that, because if we go back to the last election, case in point, many people in South Africa don't know this, or they've forgotten. The ANC actually lost the elections in Etekwini in the last election. They got 40-odd some odd percent. And so they weren't able to put together a government on their own. But you know who rescued them? Is all of these small parties and supported the ANC, put them back into power. And another 5 years of destruction in the city. And the situation has gotten worse. Irregular expenditure is out of control. The money that is being spent on lavish parties and vanity projects is just shocking. Hundreds of millions of rands on projects that people can't even account for example. You know, so there are, unfortunately, in every election, you get new parties popping up. But you know what these parties do is you have the one gentleman who wants to be the leader. He launches a party. And the way the system works is if you have a candidate in every single ward, even if you get 3 or 4 or 5 votes in every ward, it all adds up. So they use people, or they put up a candidate for the sake of it. And they know that even if they pick up 5 or 6 votes here and there, they're going to get the one seat. And then they disappear afterwards. You don't hear from them. So they hack the system. They've learned how to hack the system just to get a council seat.
Sure.
But now if that happens 10 times over, like it did in the last election, then we lose the cause and we lose the fight and we lose the chance of bringing that change that you want. Because there are some people who got fooled by these.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
One-man shows and put the ANC back into power. But I think people are much smarter this time around. And in Etekwini, for example, those parties who sold their votes to the ANC and put them back into power, They've gone underground because they know people are angry with them, so they don't show their faces anymore in public. They're just playing their time out in this 5 years and they'll collect their salary. But they haven't been doing anything for people anyway. And I think in a strange kind of way, they've educated voters on the mistakes that they made. So
Which is very important.
Which is very important.
We're almost to December holidays.
Yeah.
Right? And I would love to go to Durban for December holidays. Is the beaches okay now to go, or do we still have some time to go until we can all go back to Durban for holidays?
I cannot tell you with any sense of sincerity or honesty, because the municipality doesn't publish the results of the water testing as often as it should be done. Mm-hmm. And there's also questions on what the results of those tests are. Mm. And you know, with the DA government, there's always transparency. That's one of our core things. We always want to be transparent and open because that builds trust. But the current city government, that's the complete opposite. So I don't have the means to go and test the water myself. I don't know what it is. But what I can tell you is that people are not swimming in the water, so that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So, Naz, hold on. Until we get our blue flag back.
Don't go to the beaches yet.
So, if it seems as if your campaign slogan is going to be, if you want to swim again or surf again, vote for the DA.
Well, the opposite's also true. If you don't want to drown, you better get behind the DA. Yeah.
There
we
go. It's so true. So when you say that the city doesn't publish the results of the testing, and you spoke about the transparency of the DA, will you be publishing those tests once you get elected as the mayor?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. People have a right to know what the quality of the water is that they're swimming in. We've invited the mayor once to go and swim in the water.
Yes,
and
I remember.
He chose not to go into it for whatever reason. So if you want to build trust, you must be open and transparent. And so that has to be one of our top priorities. Durban used to have a blue flag status all along our beachfront. And we have to get the city back to that, because it's an indication and a representation and a symbolism that things are safer. And so if you want people to come back and start swimming, you have to give them the confidence. Mm-hmm. And if it takes time, we publish what those records are, let people see the progress that we're making, and that's how you will be able to build hope and build trust mm-hmm. in it. So absolutely, there must be complete mm-hmm. transparency. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the DA in many of the cities and towns that we are involved in, we actually use the transparency as a means to test people's satisfaction with our performance. And so we've used a different approach in that when you complain, we work harder. Mm. The ANC, when you complain, they work harder to attack you in return. Mm,
they tell you how much you're lying.
They tell you you're lying, and they give you all sorts of stories, and they defend things. We are brave enough to say that we think we can perform better in these areas, and give us some time and we'll turn it around and we'll come back and give you those reports. Mm. So that would be, that's our institutional culture. It's how we are in the DA, we're very open about and transparent about things like that.
Yeah. You know, and if I'm from Joburg, so we're very far from a beach. So yeah. I'm curious, how do you even start fixing this issue with the beaches?
Well, it's not impossible. You have to look at where the source of the problem is first. Mm-hmm. If you understand what the source of the problem is, then you can fix the problem and have a plan. So I said earlier that a lot of the sewer plants are all along rivers and streams. Many of them are not operating, so the sewer is coming into the plants and slowing into the streams. So let's start there. Investing in those resources and getting those plants up and running again, and that would reduce it drastically.
Okay.
And then there are also areas in parts of the city where people have connected their sewer lines to stormwater drains, and so that's flowing into the oceans, into the rivers. But that's a law enforcement problem. So the city has failed in those areas as well to enforce the bylaws. I mean, if you know that there is sewer flowing into a river, it's a no-brainer. You have all the resources that you send officials to go and investigate what the source of that problem is and fix it. Mm-hmm. But there doesn't appear to be the political will in the city, unfortunately. And I think part of the problem is that the guys in the city government have also given up. They know that they're on their way out.
Okay.
And our fear is that this year might become one of the years that they loot the most amount of resources from the city.
Sure.
But our guys are on high alert to try and prevent that from happening as best as we can. And no doubt, people who steal money will get caught sooner or later. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, Hanif, tell us about, firstly, what are your top priorities as the mayoral candidate for Etiquini? What, you know, if you could give us a bullet point list for the people at home, what are your main sort of focus areas that you want to touch on? And then maybe just tell us, like, what is your favorite thing to do in Durban?
So the priorities, the first thing is we have to fix the water crisis.
Agreed.
That's the most important thing, because if we get to 90% of the water flowing into the ground, we're in serious trouble. Mm-hmm. So we have to fix that. Mm-hmm. We have to fix the sewer crisis, because that will help us to get the tourists back and create jobs. Mm-hmm. That's important. We have to fix the road infrastructure. And, you know, roads are not a very glamorous thing. How often you drive on the roads and the only time you really take notice of how good the road is or how bad it is when there's a pothole. Mm-hmm. So, but we have to fix that, because it's the arteries of the economy, right? If we don't get that right, then we've got a problem. It's not going to contribute to the economy. Unemployment and jobs is a huge issue, as well as crime in the city. It's a massive problem. People don't feel safe anymore. Our children don't play in the parks anymore without having to watch their backs. Women don't even walk on the streets anymore. I mean, my daughter doesn't even go to the shop across the street because they feel so unsafe wherever they are. So we have, those are the priorities that we have to take care of. And we have to get the city working again, get people working again, and just build a better quality of life. And all of those priorities will actually change the quality of life of people living in the city. And people will contribute to something if they can see a hope and they can see that things are actually working. Yeah.
Great.
And your second question.
Your favorite thing, yeah. You didn't tell us what your favorite thing is.
I love fishing.
Okay.
And I love the ocean. It's the reason why I can't live in anywhere else, because I live right on the beachfront. And so I love the sound of the ocean. I love going for a walk on the beach in the mornings. And if I'm in Gauteng for more than 24 hours, I start getting homesick. Yeah. So my favorite thing is just being anywhere near the ocean. And my holiday destinations are always countries that are island countries and got beautiful beaches. And I love walking around barefoot. And it's the Durban vibe, man.
But Alif, you forgot to mention, how are you going to fix the humidity in Durban? Because as soon as I get to Durban, my hair goes double the size.
I will pray for you tonight. That's about the best answer I can give you about the humidity.
Wait, what's the saying? Your hair goes home?
But you know, it's the thing that brings you to Durban.
It is. I love it.
I love the humidity.
So that your hair can go home.
No, I love Durban. Durban is so special, man.
You know when you get off that plane, if you fly to Durban, and when they open that door and then you like feel it.
That's how I feel when I feel the air conditioning.
It's tropical. I love it.
And it's. I mean, you know, that weather makes such a massive contribution to the economy in the city. Because when you get to Durban, you don't want to sit in your hotel room or in your B&B. You want to go jollying, right?
Yeah.
You want to go with family. You want to go to the beach. You want to have a picnic. You just want to go and visit places. Mm. And in the process, you're going to be spending money and businesses are going to benefit and people get jobs out of that. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, in the weirdest kind of way, is also one of our greatest assets, the weather.
Yeah. You guys don't have winter, right?
That way.
How's your winters in Durban?
We don't have winter.
So lucky.
We don't really. I mean, even midwinter. But it has been getting a bit chilly recently. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting older. But I felt it, yeah.
Well, Hanif, before we let you go, I just wanted, because I really liked what you said about the whole of society approach. So if I'm a business owner or civil society in the neighborhood watching, I want to get involved in this campaign. I want to help you fight to change the city of Etiquini. How do I get a hold of you? what is the best way to reach you to be part of this and contribute to turn the city around?
It's so easy, and thank you for raising that, because I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but since we launched, there have just been so many people. We were overwhelmed with the response. And I ain't kidding, because from Friday night, the WhatsApp messages that I received only on my phone from people who are wanting to get involved and help and congratulations and all of that, I only completed it on Sunday evening. So I went through Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and eventually managed to get through to everybody. And that made us realize that people want to get involved. It made us realize that there is hope, and people, and these are people from all types of communities, you know, not just businessmen wanting to contribute. It was pastors who said, come and speak to us, and just people who want us to come and visit them, but get involved. So we're launching a platform for them to get involved, which is going to go live soon.
Fantastic.
And it's very easy to get hold of the DA anywhere in South Africa, right? Just go da.org.za and you ask any DA person for a contact detail for somebody in another city. Most of us, we have numbers of contacts. And so you can get hold of the DA very quickly. But we'll be launching a Facebook page that's going to build a movement for change in the city and get people activated and involved in the campaign, because we don't want this to just be a DA election, actually. Mm-hmm. We want South Africans to bring the change that they want to see. Mm-hmm. And that change is going to belong to them, and we want them to get excited about it. Mm. Because we're in this mess together, and we have to get out of it together. Mm-hmm. And we as the DA can do whatever we want. We can fight with the municipality, and we can issue media statements. But if South Africans don't get behind the DA, we're not going to change South Africa for the better, all over the country, in towns and cities, not just Durban.
Yeah, so Hanif, for everybody from Umlazi to Umhlanga, what is your message to the people of eThekwini?
My message to the people of eThekwini is simply this. You've had 30 years of dreams that have been shattered, and that is the fact. There are young South Africans who have been begging for opportunities under our current government at a local level, national level, and provincial level. But what they have done is they have taken care of only their friends and their colleagues and handed out opportunities to a few. They did not focus on the millions of people who put their faith behind this government. I mean, we were all hopeful, let's be honest, at one point in our lives that actually, you know, things are really going to move better and get better. But over a period of time, we saw how South Africa has moved backwards, because a small group of politicians who were in charge of everything took care of a select group of people.
Yeah.
And they've forgotten about the masses. And my message to people is that we cannot go on like the way we are. We can't allow political leaders to divide us on the basis of what we look like, what we speak like, what we pray like, where we come from. We're in this mess together. We can get out of it together. If we don't allow political leaders to divide us on all of those issues and focus on people who can get the job done. Don't go and vote for political parties because you like to belong to an organization. By all means, belong where you want. Freedom of association, we respect that. But put your X for the experts and get the job done. And we won't let people down. And if we do, you get rid of us too, because we know we are making a promise to South Africans that we will put the interests of the community first, and we will spend every single cent for the benefit of our community to get value for money. And that's the only way we're going to turn South Africa around. But I pray and I appreciate and help and hope that South Africans will get behind the DA in this election and say, let's just fix things for once. Give us 5 years and we'll show you.
Yeah, that's cool. There you have it, South Africa, and to everybody living in eThekwini. Thank you, Hanif, for joining us on the podcast. I have learned so much. And I keep saying KZN is one of my favorite provinces. We all love Durban. And we are rallying behind you so that we can fix Durban. so that we can all go back
absolutely
to Durban. And we'll be there for 24 hours. We'll come for weekends. We'll come on holiday, on Easter, on Christmas.
We'll come for those bunnies.
We'll come for those bunnies and the masala pineapples and the rickshaws and everything lekker that goes with it. And the fishing, even though it smells so terrible. The fishing also. So to everybody at home, make sure you this podcast. Make sure you share it with everybody you know. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell so you know when we post. It's been fun. And thank you. There we go.
It's been a pleasure.
Yay.
See you at the next election when you guys come to celebrate.
Then. Yeah.
See you
there. Tell us there when. Invite us. We'll come to Durban. No problem.
You're very welcome. I certainly will. Thank you very much. It was great to chat.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.